The first reading for this Ash Wednesday evening is from Joel chapter 2, beginning with the 12th verse. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading for the same Lord's evening is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6, beginning with the second half of verse 20. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, beginning with the first verse. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. You may be seated for this sermon. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Go and be reconciled. What does this mean? That's the theme that we're using this Lenten season, this Lenten rotation this year. It comes from a booklet put out by the Ambassadors for Reconciliation, and it covers several topics. Because of the nature of our rotation, with each pastor selecting a topic to preach on and then taking it with him to each of the churches, our topics will not be in order. So tonight, I'm going to give you a preview of each of the topics in order, so that when you receive them in the next several weeks, you can go back to this one and remember how they went with each other. The first thing we do as we desire to be reconciled to God and to others is that we remember whose we are. The Apostle John encourages us to see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. As children of God, the world does not know us. This is because it did not know Him. We have been called by our Lord Jesus out of the patterns of this world into His perfect pattern, the pattern of being children of the Father, just as He Himself is the Son of God. Next, we repent before God. We cannot live as God's dear children because we are poor, miserable sinners. That's why we wear the ashes on our brows tonight. We recognize that we are from dust, and to dust we shall return. Because we are sinners, we will die. That's what our sin deserves, death. But not just physical, temporary death. Rather, we deserve physical and spiritual, eternal death. Therefore, we repent, knowing that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. In order to reconcile with each other, though, we must first be able to accept that we have been reconciled to God our Father. So we come. We come to the Lord's house to hear the proclamation of His Word, the focus of which is the forgiveness of sins we have received on the behalf of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to the earth as God manifested in human flesh to bear the sins that we have committed and the things that we have left omitted on the cross for our salvation. So first we come and hear that we are reconciled to God by His Son's death on the cross at Calvary, the very death He had been walking to since we heard about His birth back in Christmas. By Jesus' death on the cross, our sins have been paid for. But we do not receive that forgiveness without faith, the faith which is only created and sustained in us by hearing God's word regularly. So receive God's forgiveness. Come and hear. Come and be reconciled to God by His Son's work on the cross. As ones who have faith being worked in us by the hearing of God's word, we believe what God has said to us through His word, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As ones who have faith, we know that God does not lie. He does not renege on His promises. He has promised that if we confess, He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And with our sins forgiven, we may go and be reconciled with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The first step in being reconciled to each other may sound very familiar to what we just heard. Confess to the other person. God commands through James, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. As in a school project, both parties in a conflict will either receive full punishment or full success. Both students in a school project receive the final grade, whether it is an F or an A, depending on how well they can work together. The same is true in reconciliation. Both parties are at fault when conflict occurs, and both need to confess to each other. Too often at this point, it is easy to fall into Satan's trap, to believe that the other person you are having a conflict with owes you something. Here we need to pause and consider. Has anything your neighbor done to you taken away your gift of eternal life? Has what the other person done taken away the forgiveness of sins that you have in your Savior, Jesus Christ? Though you were enemies of God, God came to save you from your sins through His Son. Jesus has gone to the cross to pay for your sins. That's what we hear about throughout the season of Lent and what we hear about all our lives as Christians. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. That's the next thing we do in reconciling with one another. We forgive as God forgave us. It is not that we either were or are so perfect or so right that we didn't need to be forgiven. We did. And now that we have forgiveness in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can forgive others as God has forgiven us. Sometimes that is much easier to do than others. Sometimes all it takes is saying, I'm sorry, and it's easy enough to say, I forgive you. And that's that. Other times, even once the please forgive me and I forgive yous are said, there is still much, much healing to take place. And sometimes knowing that the words alone will not cause quick healing, it is very challenging to ask for forgiveness or to give it. That's what we'll be hearing about this Lenten season. With each pastor you hear from over the next few weeks, you'll hear an expansion of each of the topics we've covered tonight, as well as this last one, restore with gentleness. Again, you may feel that a sin that has been committed may be so large, or that it may take a good deal of time to heal. But that doesn't excuse us from forgiving. God sent His Son to pay for our sins, and as we go with Him to the cross over the next few weeks, we'll hear about His journey and the pain He went through to forgive us, to forgive you. Then we'll know that much more how to forgive as God forgave us. And then we'll know that much more that if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, while keeping watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Tonight, we bear ashes on our heads to remind us we are mortal. We will die. But we focus our eyes on the cross, which is where our Savior will and has gone to die, so that we might live even though we die. And even though we will die, we will live, and we will live together. That's the hope that we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.